Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Wendell, today we tell a story of Lake View's welcome to her returning servicemen.
Pardon me.
Oh, hello, Sergeant.
This here welcome you're planning will be okay with me if you leave out all the hocus pocus.
Oh, we intend to, Sergeant.
Good, because I don't like the sound of a brass band in my ears. Do you, Mrs. Greenwood?
No, but I like the feel of a gold band on my finger. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
Friends, Charlotte Greenwood has as her special guest for today the celebrated Chinese star, Anna May Wong. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Home of the Bartons, those three youngsters whose care Charlotte has taken over and whose cares keep overtaking her. Right now, it's 8:30 on a Sunday morning. The scene is the kitchen of the Barton home as Jack Barton is just coming in the back door.
Hey, Aunt Charlotte, are you ever coming?
Just a minute, as soon as Barbara and Robert get downstairs.
Gee whiz, Aunt Charlotte, tell them to give. We got to meet a train. Do they still hope anybody's going to hold up a train for them?
Well, I still hope a couple of flower girls will hold up a train for me.
And, Charlotte, I'll go get the car.
I'm already up, Charlotte. Robert's coming downstairs.
Just a second, Robert. Now, before you stir an inch out of this house, let me look at those ears.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, I washed this morning.
I know just how you did it, too. You wiped in the water and you washed on the towel. Now, hold still now and let me see.
Gosh, Aunt Charlotte, we're just going down to the station to meet Ben Smith, a soldier. What's he going to care whether I washed or not?
Now, Ben Smith has been in the Army for 3 years. He's seen enough mud. Without your ears reminding him of a couple of portable foxholes, now come over to the sink. Now, let's see what a little water can do.
Why, gee, you're as bad as my last year's school teacher. She was always saying, ouch!
Really? That seems a strange thing for a school teacher to say.
No, that was me. My ears don't come off that far.
Yeah, neither does the dirt. Now, hurry and dry yourself. Here comes Barbara.
Oh, dear. Have I kept you waiting, Aunt Charlotte?
You were right behind me when I came down the stairs. What held you up?
Robert, there's a mirror at the foot of the stairs, remember?
Oh, gee, where's Aunt Charlotte? Do you see anything odd looking in a mirror?
Just me. Suppose we get going.
Come on, everybody. We're going to be late.
We're coming. Get in the car, children.
Yeah, hurry up. I don't have much time to get this jalopy down to the station.
Oh, you'll make it. This jalopy gave them the idea for jet propulsion. Oh, nice takeoff, son. Let me know when you're going to land. I want to fasten my seatbelt.
No kidding, Aunt Charlotte. I wish I was flying a plane. Gee. Ben Smith, you're a lucky guy.
Oh, he certainly is. Just imagine, 3 years overseas and he's coming home this morning without even a scratch.
No, I mean he's lucky to have 3 years in the Air Corps. Boy, if I'd only been a little bit older, I could have had a chance to get in it, too. Gee, imagine me flying a big
B-29. Hey, Jack, I'm a children. Ah, I got one.
Now, wait a minute now, you two. I'm the navigator, and get back on your course there. And don't forget, our target's the railroad station and not some telephone pole.
Okay, Aunt Charlotte, but I can't help wishing I was in Ben's shoes.
Yes, I can understand that, Jack. But you know, I've never met Ben Smith. What sort of a boy is he?
Hey, he's just an average kind of a guy, I guess, except that he hasn't got any pulse. That's why I wanted especially to meet him this morning.
Mm-hmm. You knew him in high school, didn't you, Jack?
Yeah, he was a senior when I was a freshman.
Ben was the most popular boy in his class.
With the kids, not the teachers. He was always fooling around when he should have been studying.
Oh, and it was a wonderful dancer. You know, Aunt Charlotte, I used to wish that I could get old enough, quick enough to get a boy like
that. Mm-hmm. I'm old enough and quick enough, but I haven't got enough.
Well, can you try this? Ben writes me he wants to go to college and study engineering. All of a sudden, he's full of ambition. I don't get it.
I do. He probably has a new sense of values. He may realize that education is not only instructive, but constructive. Goodness knows we could all use a little construction. As for me, I could use a complete overhauling.
Seriously, Aunt Charlotte, I sure wish I could have done what he did and really got out and fought the war.
Yeah, me too. All I did was collect waste paper and stuff.
Well, we couldn't all go to war, Robert, but there was plenty of work to do at home. We did all we could.
Well, say, Aunt Charlotte, isn't that Mr. Atwood standing over there waiting for a bus?
Yes, it is. Stop and ask him if he wants a lift, Jack. You know, the buses don't run very often on Sundays.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Atwood. Going downtown?
Why, yes. Thank you, Miss Greenwood.
It's lucky we were flying low or we'd never seen you. Climb in the back seat there with our tail gunners. See?
Oh, Barbara. Howdy, Greenwood. Yeah, I'm so grateful for the lift. Are you going anywhere near the station?
Right to it, Mr. Atwood. Are you catching a train?
No, I'm meeting my boy.
You mean Joe's coming back from the Army, too?
That's right.
Oh, well.
He got his discharge after 2 years, 8 months in the service.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, then he can pick right up where he left off, can't he?
Well, you know, I've been wondering about that. I've been wondering if anybody can pick up where he left off.
Well, many will, but there are others who may not want to. And when, you know, when they come back from war, they are no longer boys, they're men. Their ideas grow up as well as they do.
Well, I can't help thinking about all the years he's missed. Being a boy, finding a girl. We're just growing up. Nobody can give those years back to us.
I know, Mr. Atwood. That's a debt we never can repay.
Yes. You take 12 million men in the service of this country alone, and say an average of 2 years for each one. Well, that's 24 million years we owe. And nobody can give them back a second of it.
The only way we can make it up to them is to do our best to prevent any more wars.
Yes, you're right, Miss Greenwood. Well, it'll sure be great to have my boy back.
Oh, look at that poor woman on the corner. What of us did he even stop for?
Well, that's Mrs. Lee. She's a friend of mine.
Oh, maybe we could give her a lift.
Oh, thank you.
Is that the lady from China?
Yeah, that's it.
She's real Chinese?
Of course, darling.
Sure. I heard she can't speak a single word of English.
Well, I heard she can't give with a good English.
Good English? You mean like you're speaking now, Jack?
Well, you know what I mean, Aunt Charlotte.
I do not.
Well, that settles a very solid business.
Now, listen here. Whether she can speak English or not, she can still sit down. Would you mind stopping the car, Jack?
Oh, sure.
Mrs. Lee, you going downtown?
Yes. And I can't tell you how utterly charming it is of you, Mr. Atwood.
Gosh.
I am in rather a hurry. Just not want to crowd your friends.
Oh, nonsense, Mrs. Lee. Well, that's what friends are for. The only time I feel uneasy is when I'm crowding strangers. Here now, I'll slide over next to Jack and you crowd in beside me.
Thank you so much.
I hope my knees aren't in the way of the gears, Jack. The gear shift is the one that hasn't got any stockings on. Let's go.
At times when you felt blue or discouraged, wouldn't it have helped to know that someone was thinking of you? Someone cared? Just a card to tell you so would have made all the difference. And that's why a little thing like sending a card can be so important. For it tells our friends we're close to them, often just when they need to know. At your Hallmark dealers, there's so many cards designed to help friends keep in touch. And always there's a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. Maybe you'd simply like to send a cheery, everyday hello, or a card with a more personal message, a warm birthday sentiment, or a clever, happy birthday verse that's humorous and gay. You'll see scores of fine cards for weddings, anniversaries, and dozens of cheer cards, so comforting to friends who are ill or downhearted. Yes, there's a Hallmark card suited to every occasion for everyone you'd like to remember. So make your selection tomorrow. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Just remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your fashion. Jack Gelati is pausing at the pocket, still with the Parson family and their friends. Now on their way to the station, they take to use returning servicemen. They just picked up Mrs. Lee in Charlotte's station.
Are you going down to the station too, Mrs. Lee?
I'm meeting my boys this morning.
Yeah.
Well, people meeting servicemen. How many boys do you have, Mrs.
How many? I don't know.
Well, I've heard of absent-minded professors, but this is the first time I ever met a mother who didn't know how many children she had.
Couldn't you make a mark on the wall each time it was born or something?
I do not think I could, because you see, there are millions of them.
Millions? Uh-huh. And how is Mr. Mayfield?
I'm afraid I misread you. You see, they are really not... They're not really my boys.
No.
I like to pretend they're mine. They're the servicemen who are passing through.
Mrs. Lee works for the Red Cross. She comes down to the station every morning and serves coffee and sandwiches. Never misses a morning.
Oh, that's wonderful work, Mrs. Lee.
It's a wonderful privilege not only to give them a little food and refreshment, but to know that in this country, even with rationing, there is enough for everybody to eat here. Because, you see, I've known places where there was no food.
No food? Gosh, what place was that?
There were many, but for me, it was time. After the enemy came, and before I was sent to this country, I saw so many starving families.
What do you know?
It must be terrible. Perhaps for the older people, it was not so hard as for the children. Because we understood the reason, and sometimes we could make ourselves forget for a little. But the children... I'm afraid you do not want to hear about it.
Yes, we do want to hear about it. Go on, Mrs. Lee. You were saying about the children.
But, you know, you don't want to hear all I know in one day.
Why not?
Well, you're home to stay, and there's plenty of time.
Plenty of time. See, I haven't thought about having time for a couple of years. Not sure I know what it means.
It means you're home.
Wonder how long that'll take to sink in.
The realization that we're at peace is almost too much for any of us to grasp right away.
Yeah, I keep telling it to myself over and over again.
That's how I feel, Mike. As you know, our... President proclaimed last Sunday as a day of prayer. Every day ought to be a day of prayer, expressing gratitude to God for the end of this war. Let us pray to be led in that way of understanding, that all nations may have one God, one aim, one purpose motivating them. And may that purpose be the understanding of their fellow man, that we be done now and forever with the futility of war. And fervently pray that we may forever keep this peace. For you and me, there's no better way to pray than the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
It doesn't matter what I did. A lot did more, a lot did less. It doesn't matter who I was. I was just an average fella that no one ever really saw except that sniper on the beach. That never even made the news because the battle was so small. And still, I know, and all the fellows with me know, that we purchased something worth the price. A world where cruelty and barbarity and oppression can be stopped. If you will have it so. We fought that world for you, my friend. I hope you keep it. All of you. Because it's what you ask for when you say,
"Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread."
War was harder from the children where I lived. There was no fighting when the enemy came. They only took our food, our children's food. I hope that never, as long as this world lasts, shall hungry children cry themselves to sleep. And if you hope so too, do not forget it when you say,
"Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors."
My boy came home, untouched, unharmed, bronzed and grinning, marching with the rest. The brass bands blaring and the flags rippling in the sun, victorious. My boy came home untouched, unharmed, and yet, looking at him with a father's eye, I see the years at home he's missed. The years of laughter and of play, of falling in love and out again, of finding his work and orienting his world, and hearing all the strange, sweet music that is youth. My boy is home. Thank God.
Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation.
Keep all of our nations from the lust for power. Keep all of our nations from the senseless greed and coveting that causes war.
But deliver us from evil.
Save all of our nations from evil leaders and preserve us all from the makers of war.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And now, boys, until we meet again, I'll say so long.
The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show came to you from Hollywood. This is the American Broadcasting Company.
It's 3:00 at KECA Los Angeles.